This healing of the blind man, it's often tempting to treat this as an isolated story in the Gospel of Mark, because you want to think about Jesus, who has the capacity to heal because he's the Son of God, he's the Messiah. But as we study Mark, or for that matter, all the Gospels, we realize that they were very intentional about writing the Gospel, and they composed it very carefully. And Mark does the same thing. Mark has a very intentional message. And his message is that Jesus is the Son of David. It's a messianic title, a title for the Messiah in the Old Testament. That he's the Son of David. That he was put to death by undiscerning religious and political authorities. And that God raised him from the dead. This is Mark's primary message. But then, Mark composes this message with a certain perspective and is in a certain context. His perspective is discipleship. If you want one word to describe the Gospel of Mark, it's the word discipleship. And the context is persecution. If you want to understand Mark, you have to keep these two words in mind, discipleship and persecution. As far as discipleship is concerned, Mark wants the reader to take a personal stand with regard to Jesus after reading the story. And when it comes to persecution, it means taking a stand for Jesus will cost the reader something. And sometimes that something means your life. So let me give you three practical implications of this little story that Mark has given for us. First of all, I want to reflect on this, the beginning of the story, and the story as an experience of God's mercy. We are in the year of merciful discipleship, right? So let me reflect on this story as an experience of God's mercy. When Bartimaeus realized that it was Jesus that was passing by, he began to cry out and he said, "Jesus, Son of David," Gospel says, "have pity," but the other word is, "have mercy on me." Have mercy on me. And the story tells us that many of the people, including some of Jesus' disciples, rebuked him and asked him to keep quiet. Basically, Mark is being nice, they're asking him to shut up. But then think about this. If you were Bartimaeus, what would you do? If you realized that this was Jesus and this was your only chance, what would you do? If I was Bartimaeus, I would cry out all the more and perhaps louder, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." That's exactly what Bartimaeus did. And then the unimaginable happened. Scripture tells us Jesus stopped. Everybody stopped. The world stopped. And then the blind man heard the words that he was so longing to hear, I don't know for how many years. Call him. And of course they brought Jesus to him, and the rest is history. So here is what I take from it. A blind man cried out for mercy and he received mercy. Pope Francis, in his document announcing the year of mercy, he said in his very first sentence, he says, "Jesus is the face of the Father's mercy." That day, when the whole world wanted a poor blind beggar to shut up, Jesus showed him the face of the Father's mercy. And for me, this is so precious, because I know I too am a blind man. Often I do not see. On that day, a blind man saw and experienced the mercy of God. Folks, discipleship begins with an experience of the mercy of God. Discipleship begins when we realize that Jesus is nearby. Jesus is nearby. And we can cry out to him like Bartimaeus did. And if we cry out, mercy is ours. Secondly, I ask the question, and I pose this question. I'm presuming this is Mark's question, but I'm posing this question to you and to me. How deep are you into Jesus? I mentioned in my introduction that Mark composed the story of Jesus from the perspective of discipleship and persecution. Now, in the central section of the gospel from which we are reading these days, we started reading it about 4 weeks back. In this central section, Jesus talks about his passion, his suffering, and death 3 times. And after each time he speaks about his passion and death, he gives the disciples a little talk about discipleship. I just want to recall in a few sentences the 3 times that Jesus gives them something to think about. After the first passion prediction, Jesus says, "Whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake and the sake of the gospel will save it." After the second passion prediction, when the disciples discussed among themselves about who was the greatest, Jesus told them, "If anyone wishes to be first among you, he shall be the last of all and the servant of all." Finally, after the third passion prediction, when James and John came to Jesus requesting him a seat on his right and in his left in the kingdom, this is last week's gospel, Jesus said, "Whoever wishes to be great among you will be your servant. Whoever wishes to be first among you will be the slave of all. For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." Now here's the climax of Mark's central section. What Jesus preached, Jesus did. What Jesus preached, Jesus did. He denied himself. He took up his cross and followed his Father's will. He did not save his life, but gave it up for the sake of the gospel. He became the servant of all and the slave of all. He came not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many, which he did. Now, after Mark has told the story, he wants the reader to take a stand. And that is why I pose the question that might as well be Mark posing the question. If this is discipleship, how deep are you into Jesus? If this is discipleship, how deep are you into Jesus? And thirdly, taking a stand. To help us answer that question, how deep are you into Jesus, Mark gives 2 stories. These stories are weaved into the central section very carefully by Mark. So about 2 weeks back, we heard the story of this rich man who came to Jesus and said, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And of course, Jesus gives him the whole explanation of the commandments. And then finally, Jesus says, "Now, if you want to be my disciple, drop it all. Come, follow me." At that point, the man's face fell and he went away sad. So Mark is giving us a story of what the rejection of the call to discipleship looks like. Now compare that story to today's story. This guy is not rich, he's a blind beggar. What does he have? Nothing but his cloak. What is the rich man's name? We don't know. What's the blind beggar's name? We know his name. His name is Bartimaeus. Why? Because he took a stand in relation to Jesus. He accepts the call to discipleship. Even what he had, the little that he had, he leaves behind, he leaps up, and he follows Jesus. And that is where Mark leaves us as well. For Mark, discipleship is not simply about performing religious duties and obligations. For Mark, discipleship is about walking in the footsteps of Jesus. That's Mark's definition. So he tells us that the blind beggar followed him on the way. He's walking in the footsteps of Jesus. So here is the bottom line. Whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake and the sake of the gospel will save it. Mark wants us to take a stand in relation to Jesus. And that's why I asked you earlier, how deep are you into Jesus? So the same Jesus who healed that man and called him to follow him so closely, the same Jesus will be here with us on the Eucharistic table. And we are people crying out, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus does. He gives us body and blood. He breaks himself, denies himself, gives himself to us. Can we do the same back for him like the poor blind beggar Bartimaeus? People of God said,